You're listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
I hate being a New York Mets fan. There's just so much pain involved with all of it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to it's going to be a jam-packed show today here on WNYO Sports Hour. Aaron Valentino here with you alongside, as always, my good friend and utility sports talent associate here at WNYO, Brandon Ladd. Brandon Ladd, how are we feeling on this Monday afternoon?
Feeling excellent on this Monday afternoon. In about hour 8 of listening to the album Donda.
Yes, we do have to get into that today eventually.
Yes, and I'm feeling good. I'm glad Sports Hour is back this week.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun week for sure. We do have some housekeeping to get to. First things first, joining us in studio once again, completing hour 2 of his 6 shadowing hours, it's Joey Palatsky. Joey, how are we feeling on this Monday afternoon?
Great. It was a big weekend between, as Ladd mentioned, Donda came out, and now all the stuff with the Mets. And, I mean, it seemed like yesterday, and even with the Tyron Woodley-Jake Paul fight, yesterday was just it just kept going and going. There's a lot of stuff happening yesterday, a lot of stuff to cover today.
Yeah, definitely a lot to get into. But first things first, Joey, you know, you missed the general interest meeting on Friday. You were one of the only people not there. Why don't you tell everybody why you were not there on Friday?
Mr. Worldwide was in the 305, baby.
Yeah, Mr. Is Syracuse the 305?
It's 315. 315. 315. I meant 305 is Miami. Mr. 305 was in the 315.
There you go.
Yeah, my bad. But no, it was unbelievable. I regret absolutely.
Ladd, would you describe a Pitbull concert as unbelievable?
Well, you weren't there. You guys weren't
yes,
there.
Yes, I did have the experience that Joey did.
All the guy does, I mean, half of his songs are songs people either, you either haven't heard half of his songs, and the other half are just classic party anthems.
Right.
And it was just one big party. And I mean, I regret nothing. It was an unbelievable experience, and it was a great show.
So, you want to go?
We saw a video of this event.
Oh,
from
we did.
Various sources.
Snapchat stories,
what
yes.
was the girl-to-guy ratio?
It looked like there was all women there.
It was a fair share of women around. Iggy Azalea opened up for Pitbull.
Yes, yes.
And There were a lot of women around us singing, and I knew one song, and I was kind of just standing there.
The most 2000 early 2010 concert of all time, Iggy Azalea, and then Pitbull.
I didn't know Iggy Azalea was gonna be there until we were on the car ride there, and she played one song that I knew, and
Fancy.
Everyone was going, no, it was Black Widow.
You don't know Fancy?
I don't know if she played Fancy. She probably
did. She definitely did,
because
I remember watching that. Yeah.
So then I know two songs.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it was, I kept making Playboi Carti jokes, hoping Playboi Carti would come out because he dated Iggy Azalea. I was hoping she would bring him out and rekindle their romance.
Yeah, that's tasteless.
No Carti.
So at the general interest meeting on Friday, Joe already knows this. When I got up there and I was saying my spiel about why you should join WNYO Sports, I got to the part about, you know, introducing guys on my board, you, Brandon, Utility Sports Town Associate, Jake, Jared, Liam Gottimer, who's also our podcasting director. And I said, Joey Palatsky, he's my assistant sports director this year. He's not here. He's actually at a Pitbull concert tonight. And the crowd kind of laughed. Like, everybody, like, kind of just audibly laughed at that statement. And then I was like, yeah, I know, it's super weird. And then everybody started booing, which I personally thought was hilarious.
I think
Jake Johnson may or may not have started the boos. To be fair.
Okay. I think if you're laughing at me for being at a Pitbull concert, you probably got bad taste in music, first off. You either got bad taste in music or you don't enjoy a good time. It's one or the other.
It could be either one of those.
The laugh, I understand. I simply do not believe that people started doing me.
Oh,
I've been
people
told from
did.
Multiple sources. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
I don't know how you don't believe it, because there were 70 people in that room, and they did. They booed me because I was from New Jersey as well when I told them that.
What a rough crowd.
Yeah, no, it was a rough
crowd. I'm glad I missed that.
But we did talk to a lot of kids. I think it was a successful event. Hopefully everybody is signing up. It's going to be a good year here at WNYO Sports. And speaking of which, we do have a couple housekeeping things to take care of right off the bat. Yesterday, I know you boys saw, we did a little tiny rebrand here at WNYO Sports, which I was really proud of, really excited about. I seem to be the only one, and Lily Clark as well, who helped us do our little tiny rebrand. Our Twitter account profile picture, was the old logo. Like, it's the radio tower, and we do have a new radio tower logo that says, like, WNYO, and then I think, yeah, it's right here. It says Laker Radio, and then it says WNYO 88.9 FM with, you know, Oswego, New York, and then the website at the bottom of it. This logo that we had still said Laker Radio Your Way. So it was the old logo that we had from our freshman year when we were still using that slogan. And we just like, we never changed it because I don't know why. I don't know why they didn't change it sophomore year. Last year we didn't change it because, you know, we didn't really think of it. But this year, I love the Radio Tower logo. I don't know about you guys, but I love the Radio Tower logo. And people were trying to get me to like kind of get rid of it, maybe phase it out because we're, you know, we're not using it a ton anymore. But I love that logo so much. I had Lily repurpose it into just say WNYO Sports, and it looks fantastic. I'm very excited about it, and like that's a logo I hope this station keeps for eons from now.
I hope they keep it for eons too, for your sake. I feel like you would have been an Oilers fan in the 90s.
Yeah, I would have,
because you have a something for that logo.
Yeah, no, I love the Radio Tower. I think it's such a iconic like radio station look, so I was really excited about
it. Is it bad that I see that and think oil?
Maybe because you're just an old-time football fan and you're into the Houston Oilers as well.
I love the font on the new one.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah,
the font
she kind of updated it a little bit as well. I mean, Lily Clark, she did a great job. It was a very subtle rebrand, a very subtle new look to the account and the whole vibe around WNYO Sports. I want to get stickers made, too. I want to do a lot of things with it. I'm very excited about it. So, you know, that's one. That's the first housekeeping thing. Two, I have some bad news. The Sports Hour podcast, we did start this year. All episodes are going to be up on Spotify this year, the day or, you know, 2 days after, you know, the episode is live here on the radio. On Wednesday, after I, you know, got the first three episodes and Brandon so courteously edited and sent off to Liam and we start off the podcast, Thursday, I went to go grab the audio. It was not there. I didn't really know why. A day later, Abby texted me and said, hey, somebody X'd out of the radio logger. We lost everything from Thursday. So that's my bad. I accidentally X'd out of the radio logger. So Thursday's episode of the show and of the podcast is gone forever, and I apologize to those who missed Thursday's show.
I hope we can recover. Thursday was a big show.
Yeah, I know. It was fun. It was a fun show. We had you ran the board. It would have been really cool to have that forever, but we, you know.
We lost it.
We lost it. Today's episode should be up. Should be. Let's cross our fingers that I didn't X out a logger again. That would be really good. But the Sports Hour podcast is live. First three episodes are up. Fourth episode, once again, lost forever. It's very sad. And finally, this week, live sports return to WNYO. The first live sports over on Stream 1 will return Wednesday night. A soccer match. Brandon Ladd and Jake Johnson will have the call for that one. We'll also have a women's soccer match and a volleyball match over on Stream 2. Women's soccer at 4 o'clock. And then 7 o'clock volleyball over on Stream 2 as well. So we got a triple header on Wednesday. Kind of freaking out, but super excited for it, Joey.
Yeah, no, it's going to be a great day Wednesday. I'm a little bummed out. I got classes all day. Won't be able to participate, but...
You'll be there at the end.
Yeah. No, I'll be there to be tweeting the volleyball match, but I know everyone's over the moon excited to get back to calling games on NYO and even for the listeners, too, and especially the fall athletes getting back out there after last season got canceled. You know, Wednesday's going to be a big day. Everyone's back in action, and, you know, let's get things rolling here this fall.
Can we start referring to me and Jake as the primetime duo?
Well, I don't know if we could start doing that yet. This is your first call all year, but you are bringing back Stream 1 Sports, which is very exciting. We don't know all the final details for that yet. We'll hopefully have that by tomorrow, but we'll see what happens there. It's going to be a full day on WNYO Sports, so make sure you keep it locked and loaded here all the time, as you always should. Really, really excited to get back on track. It'll be the first time since 2019 that the fall sport athletes are back in action for not only Oswego, but Division III as well. It's going to be super exciting. All right, let's get into the actual sports. We have a couple more minutes before we go to break. The Mets won the series over the Nationals this weekend. You wouldn't know that due to the fact that, you know, Javi Baez is booing fans actively and made it known that him and Francisco Lindor and other Mets are going to be booing fans if fans boo at them, which is, you know, definitely an interesting take. We'll get your guys' initial thoughts on that. The Yankees, they split a series with the Athletics. Joey, their winning streak was stopped at 13, correct?
Yeah, 13
games. So they split a series with the A's. You know, it happens. Can't win them all.
Yeah, no, it kind of feels like Oakland more or less won the series just because they stopped the Yankees dead in the tracks, and The Yankees bats just went dead.
And they have the momentum leaving the series.
Yeah, the Yankees bats went dead in the last couple of games, but I thought they were going to get 3 of 4. They got 2 of 4, and the A's are a good team. And, you know, they're still the best record in August, so really nothing to complain about.
And with Carl Lawson out for the year with an injury, the Jets traded for Shaq Lawson. Lad, to try and help with their pass rushing issues. They only gave up a 6th-round pick.
Yeah,
this is an absolute steal for them in my eyes.
It is a steal, but they make up for what they lost. I would have loved to see Carl Lawson play this year, but we'll see how Shaq does.
Yeah, we'll see how Shaq can come in and maybe help this Jets defense win a couple more games than 2 this year. You know, that's very doubtful.
It's not the defense.
Yeah, it's not the defense that I think is going to be exactly the issue this year for the New York Jets. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We have lots to get to on the show. We'll get into the Mets and Javier Baez and Sandy Alderson and Mets fans in general. The Yankees, they split a game. Plus, I was absolutely robbed of my rightly deserved first overall pick in my fantasy league this year. We'll get into all that and more. Coming up, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the award-winning WNYO Sports Hour. And Joey Palatsky joining us in studio today. A lot to get to and very little time to do it. We are here up until 4 o'clock, which is, you know, super exciting to be back with you this week after a successful first week last week. We are full steam ahead at this point now. We got classes all this week. We got sports coming back this week. Very, very exciting stuff ahead here at WNYO in general. At 4 o'clock, we got Jake Johnson and Michael Gross. They're doing their Monday edition of the Hot Corner, so make sure you keep it tuned in for that right after we wrap up here. All right, I don't want to waste any time because there's just so much to get into here with the New York Mets. First off, the Mets win the series against the Washington Nationals this weekend. They win 2 out of 3 games. They win on Sunday 9-4. Not that you would know that, because after the game, when Javier Baez was asked about a celebration that he, Francisco Lindor, and Kevin Pillar and various other Mets were doing, thumbs down, pointing to the dugout and giving them the thumbs out. Baez, in response to that, said that the Mets thumbs down celebration is a big message to the fans who have booed him, along with Mets fans who have booed other players throughout the year. Quote, "In my case, the fans got to be better," Baez said. It's just how I feel. I love the fans. I love playing for the fans, but we can't have our fans against us. He went on to say, "It feels bad when I strike out and I get booed. It doesn't really get to me, but I want to let them know that when we're successful, we're going to do the same thing to let them know how it feels. They're going to put more pressure on the team." Javier Baez on Mets fans booing back, to let them know that when we don't get success, we're going to get booed. So they're going to get booed when we do get success. This just turned into, in my personal opinion, something more than it needed to be. But I want to get your guys' thoughts before I say my spiel as the Mets fan on the show. Brandon, we'll start with you. Thoughts on the initial comments from Javier Baez?
Initial comments, I guess, fair if it comes from somebody else. I just didn't like that it came from Javier Baez. Am I allowed to go deep into this here at this point?
I would say so.
Keep it surface level? Because I am going to hit Javier Baez with this. He's getting outplayed right now by Andrew Velasquez for the best shortstop in New York. You're batting .210. You have 7 RBIs in your 17 games since joining the Mets. And it's just, it shouldn't be coming from him. Like, if it comes from Alonso, that's different. I just think Baez needs to shut up and play. I feel like he hasn't earned anything in New York.
My personal opinion, I think fans booing athletes in sports is dumb. Especially if it's someone on your team. I think if you're booing them, I mean, especially in a failure-driven game like baseball, it's really stupid. Now, going off that, I think even more stupid is the players booing the fans. Javi Baez says, "It feels bad when I strike out and I get booed. It doesn't really get to me." And then you're going to give the thumbs down after that. I mean, it's counterintuitive. The actions don't match the words. And I mean, I think it's just really dumb what the Mets are doing. They're just trying to pit themselves against the fans. Like, the fans aren't paying money and showing up and rooting for them. And I mean, I think it's just not a good look for Javier Baez, not a good look for the Mets. And I mean, it kind of puts the Mets fans in a good light, even that.
All right, we are getting a call. Let's see who's calling in here. Hello, you're on the air with Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd, and Joey Palatsky.
Hey, fellas, just wanted to call in real quick and chime in on this whole Mets controversy, you know what I'm saying?
Hi, Mike, how are you? This is Mike Morano, former WNYO member. Mike, are you still down at South Carolina?
Unfortunately, yes, I am.
Mike, you can give us your thoughts.
I'll give it my thoughts real quick. I don't want to intrude too much of your time. Basically, the main analogy that I would kind of give from this is that, like, you could side. I could see an argument for both sides, right? I could see if you want to defend the fans. I could see if you want to defend the players, even though I think that's kind of corny. The Mets are like a toxic ex-boyfriend who claim that they're going to change for the better every single time, and then when they don't, they get mad at you when they cheat because they're like, well, it's kind of your fault. So that's kind of how I see this, you know? And then I'm seeing all these tweets and I'm seeing, like, you know, every player getting on Twitter and basically just defending themselves. And Pilar is like, come on. It was a joke. What? Come on. But, like, I see Baez, and I see the look on his eyes, and he has those eyes where he's ready to fight some 8-year-old kid in the stands for giving him a thumbs down, you know? Like, after swinging at a pitch 30 miles to the right, and he swings, and he sees, like, a 6-year-old kid going, like, oh, man, that was a tough one. I think Baez is ready to storm the stands and be ready to die for this. So it's interesting. I'm not a fan. I disagree with Joey. I think that if you want to boo, you paid money to go. And not only did you paid money for the tolls, you paid money for parking. You spent basically a whole day there. And if you're not seeing change in the product, I think you're allowed to voice those opinions. Baez, the first day the Mets welcomed Baez with open arms. He said he's going to do his magic here. And quite possibly the only magic that man has done is make a 22-year-old man cry at night every single night. So that's really all I got to say on that. Yeah, that's kind of my opinion. So, fellas, that's all I wanted to chime in with. Have a great rest of the show. I wish you guys nothing but the best. Godspeed and God bless.
Mike, we appreciate
Thank you, Mike, for joining
the show today. And you know, here's my thing. And I do disagree with Joey, too. I think fans, and here's why. And the perfect example of this in terms of, you know, you relating it to Mets history in the past is Jason Bay. He is the epitome of this, right? Jason Bay is one of the only, quote, big-time signings the Wilpons ever really made. There's Carlos Beltran, which I would say worked out pretty well, if you ask me. And the other really only big signing that they made was bringing in Jason Bay in the early 2010s to come play left field for them. He was horrible every single year. He's arguably one of the worst signings in Major League history. By year two, on opening day, when they announced the players and the starting lineups, he was booed erratically. He never picked up. He never figured it out. He never did anything. I deserve to boo Jason Bay for his performance on the for the pain that he brought me for those 4 years. Now I'm going to go on a rant on Jason Bay, but it was so mind-boggling, like, infuriating. That, you know, this man was getting paid all this money. He was supposed to come in and help the Mets offense do something. And he did nothing in 4 years. Absolutely nothing in 4 years.
And I think it's a bipolar thing for fan bases because think of this, Aaron. I've seen the Celtics in the past 8 years. This is my best example of it. When they had Isaiah Thomas, Evan Turner, and more lovable team, they cheered them on down in game seven. They were down 25 points. They were going to lose. They cheered them on all the way to the end. When Kyrie was leading the show, a less fan favorite in Boston, they booed him down the stretch. So
he didn't play well.
So I think it's the personalities and what you expect. And these personalities, they expect a lot out of them.
Now, my thing going back to Baez is, right? First off, Baez really hasn't been that bad. I want to make something very clear. Yes, I understand the batting average since he's been here is 226. And yes, I understand that he leads the league in strikeouts. I'm fully aware of all those things.
Where are you going with this, that he hasn't been that bad after you with that?
Well, first off, I mean, the defense has still been absolutely stellar. He's making plays all over the field. And this is the best defensive team in baseball. And let's not make
really
that mistake.
Looking great in the win-loss
record. Yes. Well, yes. Well, here's the thing, and I brought this up to Gross on the Hot Corner on Thursday when I was on with him. The Mets' season was built around pitching and defense. While they were in first, they were the best pitching team in baseball, and they were the best defensive team in baseball. The second they lost their best pitcher in Jacob DeGrom, and the second they lost their best defender in Francisco Lindor, that's when the season went completely awry. The second they lost those two players, that's when the season went awry. They brought in Baez to replace Lindor for the next month and try and bring that, you know, defense back. You can't replace Jacob DeGrom. It's just physically impossible. And, you know, game one, he hit a home run to win them the game. He's hit multiple home runs to keep them in games and win them games since he's been here. Now, again, it's not always been consistent, but he's won you baseball games. I can think of three instances where he's won you baseball games this year. And again, the problem isn't necessarily that Baez isn't hitting. The team hasn't hit all year. The only person who's hit all year is Pete Alonso, and arguably the number two guy who's hit this year has been Jonathan VR. So for Baez to say those things, it is completely wrong, and I think his statement in itself is wrong. But the celebration itself, like, I would have just personally kept that in the clubhouse and not said anything about it. But for everybody to absolutely blow this up, and the media, of course, ran with this. The Daily News' post was, "Go to hell, fans," as the quote that Javi Baez said, which is not what he said at all. I just read you the statement saying that he says, "I love the fans, but, you know, I'm just frustrated that I'm putting in all this work and they're booing me because, you know, they're not getting the results that I want," which is fair. But at the same time, you know, just keep the thumbs down thing in clubhouse. Otherwise, it's going to blow up like this. Like, this blew up way out of proportion.
I think for a team that's 63-67, attacking the... I feel like attacking the fans
is quite
the move. I mean, I personally don't understand why Mets fans still show up to baseball games with a team that's 63-67, got names on the stats sheet that just underperform, and now they're going to boo you. Now Javier Baez and...
You don't play well, you're going to get booed.
Right, but now you're out there and you're booing the fans. That's just going to draw the fans away even more. And then you've got Sandy Alderson coming out because obviously they want fans to keep showing up and pay concessions and merchandise and tickets. And, I mean, what's the incentive to do that now? Aaron, I mean, you're a Mets fan still. What's the incentive to do that? Your team's underperforming. Your guys hate you. I mean, what's the incentive to show up and pay tickets and parking and everything?
There is none, because the Mets goose has been cooked for a while now. The second they went two, and the second they started the 13 stretch of games between the Dodgers and Giants, their goose was long cooked. The Mets players are frustrated, I think, with how the season has gone and how they've performed. And to take it out on the fans is a little harsh, because Mets fans are the most passionate group of people I personally know. In terms of sports fans, and there's a lot of passionate fan bases out there, but to take this out on the fans, I think was a little bit wrong. But at the same time, you know, I don't really care what players like say in terms of, you know, oh, I'm frustrated with this. I'm frustrated with that. This is why this is happening. This is why we're doing this. If Baez said this and they were winning baseball games, I wouldn't care. Like, when I care about winning baseball games, I don't care that Baez doesn't like the fans. I don't care. He doesn't have to like me. I don't do anything for him. I watch him play baseball every day. That's what I do for him. Win baseball games is what I care about.
But let's give this context here, and I think this is why Sandy Alderson was so mad.
Yes, and
everything,
we've
gotta
talk about
because
it's
who it's coming from. It's the newbies that are underperforming. I don't want to put VR in that category, which is so sad that we're talking about VR as
the second best hitter on the Mets.
He's the best player they have, except for Alonso. But if the fans did this to DeGrom, bad news. No, don't do that. If the fans did this to, let's say, when Syndergaard comes back in a couple weeks, no, bad news. If the fans did this to any pitcher, any reliever, or if it came after an error to end a game, no. You got to be smart enough to know the pitching and the fielding has carried you all year, as you were saying, Aaron. It's coming from batters who were supposed to help an offense out that are currently 43 runs behind the Orioles in offense this year and 30 runs behind the Marlins in offense this year. It's just coming from the wrong voice.
It absolutely is. And then for the Mets, you know, they made this even more like such a public disaster. Sandy Alderson released a statement at 8:58 around 9 p.m. last night, saying that in a postgame press conference today, Javi Baez stated that his, quote, thumbs down gesture during the game was a message to the fans who have recently booed him and other players for poor performance. These comments and any gestures by him or other players with similar intent are totally unacceptable and will not be tolerated. Mets fans are understandably frustrated over the team's recent performance. The players and the organization are equally frustrated, but fans at Citi Field have every right to express their disappointment. Booing is every fan's right. The Mets will not tolerate any player gesture that is unprofessional in its meaning or is directed in a negative way towards our fans. I will be meeting with our players and staff to convey this message directly. Mets fans are loyal, passionate, knowledgeable, and more willing to express themselves. We love them and every single one of these qualities. What? Are you kidding me? Like, the statement's perfectly, like, it's, like, written well for the situation, but just so unnecessary. It made everybody like freak out. I saw a tweet from Jeff Passan, which I'm gonna find, where he's like, every single part of this statement is hilarious. Like, the fact that this statement had to be made and had to be released is just so mind-bogglingly unbelievable, Joey.
I think it was a damage control thing, really. I mean, just...
I just think it's so unnecessary. You're making the story bigger than it actually is.
Yeah, but I think as soon as Baez and Lindor and everyone, as soon as they start booing the fans, he immediately just goes damage control and he's coming to the defense of the fans. I mean, we're loyal, passionate, knowledgeable. We're not going to accept this. I think he's coming in. I think they jumped the gun on the statement, but he just comes running in, trying to defend the fans, saying, hey, you guys are allowed to boo. You know, you're loyal, passionate. Players are in the wrong. You guys are in the right. Congratulations. This will be handled.
Unnecessary to pick a side here. Talk to him privately. Blast them. Say you're not coming back next season, blah, blah, blah. Anything you want to talk about here. I feel like you're taking a risk because this might alienate Lindor. Do you want Lindor to come back for the next? I mean,
yes.
Like, we're getting to that point where 5-6 years down the line, how much baggage do you want in the first 1 or 2 years where Lindor is demanding a trade in 2027 or 2028? So it's something to think about. It's a long-term marriage. Why make him mad in the beginning? You don't do that in a marriage. And it's also one of those things where, why did he have to pick a side?
And to take the fan side, the reason you traded for Baez is because you said in a press conference, we wanted to show the players that we had their backs. This is not having their backs at all. Like, not even close. And I get the fans are mad that, you know, they're being booed when the team is playing poorly and the fans are investing money into the team. But this statement just makes it so much worse. It's going to make your clubhouse not like you even more. If you really had a problem with it, you could have talked to them in a private meeting. You didn't need to release a statement. Now, we don't know what time this meeting is taking place. I'm sure we'll hear about that more later in the day. The Mets do have an off day today. They're not going to play till tomorrow. So I don't think, you know, a ton of information is going to come out of that, unless, you know, sources confirmed Ken Rosenthal or some of the Mets beat reporters or something like that. So we'll see what happens in terms of that meeting. But just a total 180 from when, you know, the Mets reached the All-Star break. I mean, this season is, you know, fallen fast, and it's just completely out of proportion now.
It's another wasted year.
It's just such a disaster. Joey, any final thoughts on this?
Yeah, Aaron, trivia question for you here.
Yeah.
Who has the 117th best average in baseball? Is it the New York Mets fans or is it Javier Baez?
I don't even know what that means.
It is, I mean, Baez is extremely underperforming.
Actually not. But that's fine. We don't have to get into the argument now. We do have to go to break. He's actually really not underperforming at all. And he also wasn't playing great when they traded for him either. Let's all keep that in mind as well. And, you know, the reason they traded for him is because he hits home runs. The guy second on the team in home runs that's not Javier Baez is currently Jonathan Villar. He came here to give them a jolt into the lineup that only Alonso was doing at the moment. Has he done that? I'd say it's about 50-50%. I don't think Baez, especially after this incident.
Aaron, that's a weak stance, though. He had a 2.8 war with the Cubs earlier this year. He has a 0.1 with the Mets so far this year.
He's been injured for a lot of that.
Well,
keep in mind,
your best ability is availability.
Baez came here to hit more home runs, which, you know, I think you could say he's kind of done to this point, and drive in more runs, because the only person that's done that this year is Pete Alonso.
Donda, 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 Donda. Donda.
This is the whole song.
This is the whole song. This is why I got a D minus on my list.
Donda.
That's track one. That's how we started off.
Yeah. It's just 52 seconds of this.
Very alarming when I heard it at 8:44 in the morning.
That's terrible.
Oh yeah.
Like, why is it
that's
so
art.
Long?
Like, no, I've that's heard, not terrible. That's art.
I've heard.
I'm with Lad here.
I've heard of albums starting on like a sketch or like something stupid weird like that, but it's only like 20 seconds long.
Paying tribute.
Like,
to Donda.
Eminem, I can like remember on multiple albums. I think almost every album, he starts his off with like a stupid sketch or skit or like something like that. But it's only like 20 seconds long. That's 55 seconds of just saying Donda over and over again.
55 seconds of pure genius.
Jake Johnson didn't ask permission to be here, but he's here. He's breaking the studio as we speak. Jake, you got to figure this out, man. He's found it. You're breaking the studio altogether. This is just an absolute disaster already. Jake,
what's up, guys?
What's going on, man?
Jake. Hey, Jake.
Just came early for my show and seeing what you guys were doing.
You never answered Joey's text. He apparently texted you yesterday and you never responded to him.
It got caught with all the others.
Yeah, Jake's probably a busy man, right, Jake?
Yeah.
How many other people you text yesterday? One, two?
At least 30.
I don't know about all that. Jake, come back to your phone.
It's a social butterfly.
Do you guys ever look, like, at the end of the day? And I'm not a person that's, like, constantly, like, texting people. Like, I'm, you know, I'm not that guy. Or maybe it's because I'm unpopular. Who knows? But, like, if you guys ever looked back at how many text messages and emails you send in one day. Today, I kid you not, I've sent 15 emails out to, like, just everybody. And texts I've probably received close to, like, you know, 200.
Yeah,
and like I'm not even like I feel like I don't even text that often.
And you're not in a relationship. There's a relationship curve.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. My phone is constantly blowing up.
Yeah, and my phone isn't, but yet like I look back at the end of the day sometimes, and I'm like, oh my god, I sent like 100 text messages today, and today I sent like 15 emails, and I probably got 20 more to go.
Yeah,
so.
I'm with you on the text stuff. Like you send and receive a dumb amount of text messages in a day. I can't say I've sent more than 2 emails a day in my entire life.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because sports directing requires you to send a lot of emails. But that's what I've been doing most of the day. Texting you guys, actually. We're all in a group chat together, along with Liam and Jared. And then I also have been sending emails all day.
Yeah, we almost have the full sports board here.
Yeah, we do. We just need Liam and Jared. And we will have the full sports board here. All right, let's get into the Yankees really quickly. Their 13-game winning streak stops at 13. They lose last night on Sunday Night Baseball to the Oakland Athletics, who were playing bad going into this series. But the Yankees just kind of proved with this winning streak that, Brandon, that they're a force to be reckoned with.
They are. And, I mean, let's pay no attention. There's going to be outliers along a stretch here. One run scored last night, 2 runs scored the night before. They still only lost these games by 2-1, so I'm not pressing the panic button. We can give an old, you know how Colin Cowherd does where Colin was right. Well, where Lab was right, he said there was going to be a split, and he got it right.
Yeah, no, I thought the Yankees were going to take 3-1, and I kind of saw the whole way. I thought Jordan Montgomery would get the start that would snap the losing streak, but Nestor Cortez goes out there. He wasn't excellent by any means, but it was a decent start for him on Saturday afternoon. But you know, the bats just kind of shut down the past couple of days, and that's just how this Yankee team rolls. They're either an extremely hot or extremely cold. It's just how they go. And you know, 3 runs combined in 2 days aren't going to win you a whole lot of baseball games.
Jake, you have any thoughts on the Yankees?
Other than the fact that they're cheaters.
Okay.
In what world?
I'm just saying that there's a reason that the umpire review booth is in New York. They have been blessed the last week on good calls.
Maybe it's because New York City is one of the largest cities on earth.
I would have put it in Atlanta.
Why are the Mets 63 and 67 then?
Because they don't like the Mets. Too. The Yankees have been around a lot longer.
So hold on. Are you saying that referees and umpires should call games based off of like what big team is playing?
No, is that what you're saying? No.
It's kind of what you just said.
No, Joey is saying. No, Joey is saying.
My goodness, that was questionable.
Wait, Joey. Are you being serious?
Jake is saying that the New York Yankees are only so good because the replay center is in New York City,
right?
And I'm saying if the Yankees are only so good because it's in New York City, then why aren't the Mets good?
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying both of them would either be good if it's because of the replay center.
They can't make it look that obvious, so they pick one.
Aaron, why are we giving this claim the time of day?
Freddie Freeman was saved at home plate, and what kind of monstrosity of a call was that at third base the other day?
I will say, Jake does make it out to be a little bit more dramatic, but there have been some times this year where the Yankees have gotten away with a lot.
Well, yeah, they're the New York Yankees.
Okay, but again, is that okay?
Yeah. Like
No, it's not.
Yes, there's an advantage.
This is why we need robo umps. This is exactly why we need robo-umps.
I'm with you. I think robot umpires for the strike zone, but I mean obviously safe and out calls on bases. I don't understand how you replay it and still get it wrong.
If you're gonna send it to the replay center and still get it wrong, then what is the point of the replay center?
Yeah, I'm with that.
A counter argument here: Aaron Boone gets thrown out every 4 days.
Yeah, because Aaron Boone's a horrible manager.
That seems uncorrelated.
Jake, is it correlated?
Yes.
Luis, then Bobby Cox would be a horrible manager.
He doesn't get thrown out anymore.
And Bobby Cox played in an era where you had to argue.
He's still number one in history, though.
You had no other choice but to argue. Now you've got replay, so you don't really have to argue. You just say, I think Aaron Boone just likes
to hear his voice.
That's also true.
He just gets the guys fired up. Every time, I mean, it seems like most of the times that he goes out there and argues with umpires, he gets the guys, everyone in the dugout smiling and kind of getting riled up, and the team goes on and plays well that game in the following days.
Well, let's remember the Yankees' best stretch when Brett Gardner was losing his mind and hitting the top of the dugout with a baseball bat.
It's whatever gets
the locker room going. It is.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Brett Gardner's getting everybody fired up with him hitting the bat against the dugout.
When guys would hit doubles, they'd act like they're banging them for the dugout.
He's batting 076, and he's getting the guys going.
I'm not saying he's good anymore. I'm just saying he's a locker room president. Same as Ruben Odor. They do the same thing. Neither of them hit. They're just locker room guys. Every team needs a veteran presence.
It's just ridiculous.
To be fair, though, the Yankees, we can't act like this is a done deal. They still got to play a wild card game.
You don't think they're winning the division?
No.
If New York has anything to say about it, they're just going to erase six wins from the race. There's a month left.
Yeah, but you got to look at the schedule, too. There's a couple series against the Orioles. We got six games against the Orioles.
Because the Rays have won seven. The Yankees losing those two games actually really did hurt them. They're now six.
Gosh darn it. The Yankees won 8-2 and 10.
Yeah, I know. The Yankees are six games back of the Tampa Bay Rays for the division lead. The Rays have won seven in a row. In terms of the wild card, the Yankees still lead. They're two games up on the Boston Red Sox. The Athletics trying to get back into it. They're 2.5 back of Boston.
The Rays went 18-1 against the Orioles this season. And I mean, we still have six left against Baltimore. I think that ground can definitely be made up.
That 18-1 is almost impossible.
The ground can be made up with the schedule. Really, isn't bad. Six against Baltimore. There's a game against Minnesota in here.
I think they could do it.
Let's pray the Red Sox wake up.
I think you don't want the Red Sox to wake up.
Well, that's a fair point. Do you want to take Tampa down?
In terms of viewership. I think you would want Boston, like if you're MLB, you want Yankees versus Boston in the playoffs.
I think it's going to be that.
In any way, shape, or form. But if you're a Yankee fan, I don't want any part of that.
I'm okay with a wild card game.
You got to face
Chris
Sale.
Give Garrett Cole the ball. I don't care who's in their team if we give Garrett Cole the ball.
That's an L.
But it's going to come down to the division if the Yankees catch back up. As Joey was saying, we have our part of the side. Now let's look at Tampa's side. They got seven against Boston coming up, and they got six against Toronto. Then they got three against Houston, three against the Yankees.
It's a lot harder than what we got. It's a lot harder.
That's funny. So the Yankees... I mean, the Mets are a lot farther away from winning this division, their division, than the Yankees are. But the Mets and Braves both play. The Mets and Yankees both play their division leaders currently in the last three games this season.
We'll see if it matters.
Yeah, we'll see if it matters. It would be good. I mean, Mets starting off 2-1. They got 13 more games left to go against Miami and Washington.
Can I complain about the city of Oakland quickly?
Yeah, about that what?
Atrocious stadium. The Coliseum. Atrocious.
Yeah. Well, are they moving?
Horrible.
Are they confirmed moving to Las Vegas or like some other location?
I don't think it's been confirmed yet. No, but like, so. What a horrible aesthetic having to listen to A-Rod and look at the Coliseum at 4 p.m. on a Sunday. Like, I thought it was a Sunday night baseball game, and we're just staring at the bright Coliseum. You could see everything. You could see the green from the 60s. It was just embarrassing.
Just an NBA.
Good point.
Oakland, you know.
It is a very ugly
Oakland. Hopefully they're going to move. The Oakland they deserve to move.
The Oakland Coliseum should never be on national television.
They do deserve to move. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we got to talk some fantasy football. I got a great story for everybody. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. And welcome back to Sports Hour right here on WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd, Joey Platsky, Jake Johnson for some reason is also here.
Yo!
Wrapping up the show today at 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock then, Jake Johnson and Mike Gross will do their Monday edition of the Hot Corner. Jake, what are you getting into today?
We're going to talk about how the Mets are the worst franchise in baseball.
Okay. Fair enough.
We are going to talk about... obviously the Braves and the Yankees, how the Braves just took 2 of 3 from the leading near San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, I know, it's really not fair.
And then how they have the Dodgers coming up, and I don't know, we got some fun things planned, you know, mixed in there.
Make sure you tune in at 4 o'clock when we get out of here at about 3:55. All right, boys, I got a story time for you here before we wrap up the show. I just want to publicly say that in our fantasy league, it's called 12 Angry Men. Now, this is formerly called Oswego's Elite. It's between, you know, me and Ladd are in the league. Brian's in the league. A couple of seniors, Mike Marano, who called in earlier, is in this league. We've expanded the league this year to 12 teams instead of 10. We've added Jake Johnson, who's sitting to my right, and Dylan McGlynn, who is off where? Where did he get his job?
Michigan,
yeah. Right? Yeah. So we've added 2 teams this year. Now, because of that, there was some question on how we were going to decide the draft order. Now, at the beginning of last season, we all agreed that we were going to do the draft order based on the reverse standings, like a normal league does every single year. If you go back a year ago from now. Now, I went 2-12. Did I want to go 2-12? No, not even close. I think the average opponent score against me was like 150 points. I got absolutely shelled every single week. So this year, naturally, I was expecting that I was going to have the first overall pick and pretty excited to draft Christian McCaffrey. It was discussed about possibly doing it a completely new lottery just because we're adding 2 new teams. And in the end, I thought we had decided that, all right, 1-6 is going to be reverse standings with Jake and Dylan coming in at 5-6, maybe based on a coin flip. And then 7-12 was going to be a complete lottery. So all the teams that made the playoffs, it would be completely random on what pick they were going to get. So like Matt, who won the championship, he could get 7 if the lottery balls bounced his way. Now that is what I thought. Apparently, allegedly, and everybody knew this against me, 1-6 was going to be its own lottery, which included Jake and Dylan. And then 7-12 was going to be a separate lottery, like I thought. I have the number 2 overall pick after going 2-12 and an absolutely miserable season. And I was completely robbed of my number 1 overall pick. And you know who stole it from me? Of course, it's the man sitting to my right, Jacob Johnson.
Christian McCaffrey, welcome to
squad. It's not right. It's not right.
Oh, it's right. It feels so right.
No, it's actually not right at all. I rightfully deserve that number. I deserve to draft Christian McCaffrey after my painful season last year.
Why would you think this would be fair, though?
It never works out my way.
No, like, why do you think this was going to be fair?
It's not.
You shouldn't want the number 1 pick anyways.
I want Christian McCaffrey.
Aaron, who'd you get it to?
Who gives a crap? I want Christian McCaffrey.
He's injury prone.
Oh, my
God.
You don't know
how so I was back. Talking with my housemate, Kevin, and I hate the number 1 pick. Yeah, I didn't want it.
You got
to
sit through 2 rounds.
Yeah, but I'm not trading.
I wanted 4 or 5. Ideal, 4 or 5. So if you want the first overall pick.
No, but I'm not swapping. I'm not giving you more picks to get Christian McCaffrey.
I'm kind of with Aaron here. Like, I didn't.
Matt won the championship, by the way,
yes,
last year, and he had the number one overall pick. So I don't want to hear this crap about the number one overall pick actually isn't that good.
Well, I kind of see your idea of flipping it up and switching. I was totally cool with inverse order. Like, I got railroaded. I'm the number 11
pick. Yeah, you got screwed too.
Yeah.
But you made the playoffs.
Yes. Like, I didn't lose in the first round of the playoffs to get the 11th overall pick.
If anyone wants, I know Mike's listening. So anyone else in that league that wants that first overall pick, make me an offer because I don't want it. Sure. If it comes to draft day and it comes up, Christian McCaffrey on my team, not mad, but I don't want it. I hate the first overall pick.
The difference in your fantasy league usually isn't who you get in the first round because everyone is usually around the same area anyways, besides injuries. It's all about getting later in the draft and getting sleepers and guys like that. So the difference
I completely disagree.
No, if Joey's
you,
right.
It, Joey
well, that's probably right. 2-12. You were 2-12 last year.
Who was your first overall pick last year?
I honestly forget.
I mean, there were so many guys last year that got hurt.
It might have been Davante Adams.
Well, there you go.
And he was hurt.
Yeah.
But in reality, if you get your first pick, I remember taking Tyreek Hill in a league that I won, right? Like, I think I was at number 8. He was ranked like 10. I took Tyreek Hill because I love watching that dude play. He carried my team, and I won the championship. If you get a player every week that is going to consistently get you 20 to 25 points, you are golden. And if the rest of the team around him is good, obviously, too. But if you can have that core player
that is getting you 20 to 25 points, you're proving my point. You get Tyreek Hill at 10 as opposed to McCaffrey at 1, it's the same thing. It's all about getting later in the draft and getting
depth. Let's split the difference here, though. You need a front runner, but you also need a good caboose.
You need a Christian McCaffrey, but you also have to
find a James Robinson.
Right. What's the difference between McCaffrey and Tyreek Hill? There's no difference.
And you can't have a bad defense. I mean, negative points from the defense, that just brings tears to people's eyes.
Justin Tucker's the staple of winning fantasy leagues.
There you go.
We're also using Sleeper this year, which I've never used before. I hadn't even heard of.
This endless dynasty draft I'm doing, we're in round 25 today. We're going on day 11 of it.
Why would you sign up for that?
They
have
painful.
12 hours to make a pick.
Are you on Sleeper?
Yeah, it goes okay. It's a traditional draft board.
Now, on ESPN's draft boards, right, Patrick Mahomes and Dak Prescott and whatever the top quarterbacks are in ESPN
fantasy
leagues.
You just said Patrick
Mahomes
and Dak Prescott. Well,
those are the top two QBs in the league.
Yeah, I think in fantasy. I think in terms of fantasy, I think those are the two top quarterbacks.
Aaron Rodgers has got to be ahead of Dak Prescott.
Yeah. I don't know what ESPN's a fit, but I normally use ESPN, and they're not ranked. Patrick Mahomes is normally higher, but for example, Patrick Mahomes is like 31st best player, 35th, 40th best player in terms of fantasy. In Sleeper, he's ranked number 2.
Yeah, this is going to cause a headache.
So
would
this
people
is
be
gonna,
upset if I drafted Patrick Mahomes?
I would, because I would get Christian McCaffrey.
Well, I took Dak Prescott with the
but that's different. You're in a dynasty league. And it all starts with the quarterback if you're building an actual franchise.
I didn't think of it that way.
Like
normal team, I would have taken Dak.
Like in all seriousness, like am I supposed to draft Dak? Not Dak Prescott. Am I supposed to draft Patrick Mahomes at 2? Like I really don't know what to do, because Sleeper does their rankings like way differently. So I'm all thrown out of proportion, and Luke Owens definitely has the advantage because he's the commissioner and he's been using Sleeper for God knows how long.
Only really dangerous thing for you, though, taking a quarterback at 2, you're not going to get an elite skill player.
I know. I'm not going to get a skill player.
We won't see you again until way later in the draft.
Yeah. So I don't think I can. I don't think I can take
the other reason I hate the number one pick, you pick first and then
you sit there.
Well, what do I go do? Run a marathon before my next pick?
Quarterback's the deepest position in the league. You can wait on that.
You can get Josh Allen in the 7th round.
Right.
Yes. And he's going to be a god.
You can go get a handful of MVP candidates in the 6th, 7th round between Wilson, Josh Allen, Rodgers, whatever it is. Just go get a really solid running back or wideout.
It's also a 2QB league, though, so you do actually need a little bit of depth at the quarterback
position. It's a 2QB league.
Which
I'm going to end up with Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, I know. It's
I'm
gonna
not
gonna
doing Cam Newton
like
again.
That. Yeah, we'll see what happens. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today. Make sure you stay tuned. We've got the Hot Corner coming your way in just about 5 minutes. And again, Wednesday begins live sports over on Stream 1. We're going to have the opening match of the Oswego men's soccer team over on Stream 2. We got some women's soccer and volleyball coming your way. For Brandon Ladd, Joey Palatsky, Jake Johnson, I'm Aaron Valentino. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.